Welcome to the CityDAO podcast. I'm your host, Eric Gilbert Williams. CityDAO is exploring decentralized asset ownership on chain, starting with a simple piece of land purchased in Wyoming during 2021. Each parcel of land becomes an NFT that can be owned collectively by the DAO or by individuals, just like you and me. CityDAO is a DAO. In other words, it's a decentralized autonomous organization, meaning that land governance, treasury, and other things, including this show you're listening to right now, are all managed by the community. Check out the FAQ at citydao.io to learn more, or check out the CityDAO Discord channel to get all the latest updates. Now let's get started with the show. Welcome to this first episode of the Citizens series here on the CityDAO podcast. The Citizens series is exactly as it sounds, where citizens of CityDAO come on the show and we get to know them a little bit better. Now, as a reminder, when I say a citizen, the context of a citizen of CityDAO, what I mean is that this is the verified owner of a citizen NFT from the CityDAO, which is used for governance of the DAO and its treasury. CityDAO is filled with diverse talent ranging from Web3, from construction, politics, real estate, thought leaders, software development, business, economics, and much, much more. And here in the Citizen series, we get to chat about all of it. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce to you today's guest, Paul. Paul's coming in from Florida. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
It is. You know, it's still a new show. As I said, I got COVID right now, right? Just recording hardcore right through it all. Got to make it happen. So forgive anything here, but it's a really exciting time. And I think it inspires people to just keep moving forward. And you're from Florida, which right now I'm recording in Canada, and I keep hearing about Florida all over the place. What's it like in the Web3 world out there, in your opinion, in that region?
Yeah. So I guess first I got to say, you are a beast for still being here with COVID. I said, we don't have to do this today. You can rest. And he said, no, we have to give the people what they want. And so I was like, okay, we're doing it then. So yeah, so Florida, I mean, Florida is cold today, but Florida cold is probably a joke everywhere else around the world. So it's like 56 degrees or something. So it's cold today.
Yeah, I'm laughing on the inside. For Christmas, we did a little retreat out in the mountains, and it was minus 48 degrees Celsius with my family, and we were in these hot pools. So we got our toucan, bathing suits, minus 48. The more I hear about Florida, I just keep thinking about moving out there, because the name popping up more and more and more in the Web3 world and crypto world. Obviously, we really want to talk to some of the politicians out there as well on the show and get their perspective on what the future looks like for Florida from a crypto perspective and from a digital perspective. Are you involved in some of the communities out there? Is that something that's always filling up your calendar, or are you just more on the digital space?
No. So back in college, I was a political science major, actually, and I actually worked for some of the big political parties a while back. And I actually worked for some pretty big politicians for a while as like personal interns and like working on their staff. But I quickly realized that kind of politics wasn't for me. I kind of fell out of that space, but I had some involvement for a while, which was fun. So it gave me a cool perspective. A lot of political science stuff kind of really applies to this whole DAO ecosystem now, which is really interesting. I never really imagined that I would ever kind of like fall back into that circle, but all these interesting discussions around like governance and treasury management and, you know, all sorts of other things. It all kind of is playing back to what I was talking about back in college, just in a different degree.
It really does. And I have sort of an agenda. I like to follow things, but I prefer the spontaneous conversations. And since you mention it, what do you think about the concept of a DAO? Is it anti-politics, or is it just another branch thereof? Is it a new take on how to deal with politics? I mean, what's your take on some of that? You have a very interesting angle there.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I think it's like the definition of DAO is changing a lot. And you obviously have some people that are like, I don't know, like maximalists, or like they believe a DAO should be completely decentralized and autonomous, right? But then I asked the other day on my Twitter, I said, hey, like, are there any truly decentralized and autonomous DAOs? And I know I had a bunch of people reply, and really, I guess you could argue on what constitutes as decentralized or what constitutes as autonomous, right? And so really what that means to me is like, nobody really knows what a DAO really is at this point. Like, we're all trying to figure that out. And even since I've been in this space probably for like a year and a half now, what I've seen people define as a DAO has changed a lot. I think people are starting, in my personal opinion, I sort of look at a lot of DAOs as like a startup. And I think if you've ever worked in a startup before and run a startup, there's certain things that you have to have in place in order to pivot and make decisions quickly. And sometimes time is of the essence for some of those things, because you could lose either momentum or certain things won't get done the way they should on time and stuff like that. And so I'm starting to see that maybe, in my personal opinion, that maybe a little bit of centralization isn't really that bad in the beginning, as long as it's like good actors that are playing in that. And then as long as you're like North Star is to work towards decentralization and automation, then eventually you can get there when the time is right. Maybe in the very beginning, it's not a good idea to spin up a group and say, hey, there is no centralized leadership, because then it's like this giant group of people that are trying to figure out what they're doing. And I'm kind of playing into that ecosystem right now. Cult DAO just got launched, and it's a very interesting situation that they have going on over there, because basically once the founder renounces contract ownership, there's mechanisms in place to where like the treasury is fully automated, and it really is going to be like a somewhat decentralized autonomous DAO. And it kind of looks like it might be one of the first, really, or at least one of the first that hasn't had any major issues. I guess arguably the first one would have been like the DAO from the famous ETH hack. But I'm just kind of playing in those ecosystems, and really I'm playing on the outside too, because I just want to see, is that going to work? Can you just form a community and basically give all ownership to the entire community and say, hey, like there are no real leaders here. Will leaders naturally step up? Like what'll happen? And I'm interested to see, is it going to stay around, right? And that's really where I've been thinking a lot. A couple months ago, like I wouldn't have said that I was interested in governance and stuff like that. But now I'm actually starting to get really interested in it, because before I'd kind of thought that, yeah, there's like a lot of people out there that are a lot smarter than me with governance, and I was kind of leaning towards them to like tell me what a DAO should be. But then I've kind of seen their sentiments change over the last couple months, especially with these drawdowns and stuff. I mean, when the market gets bad, people start to, like, you see the cracks in the wall. And I've started seeing that happen. I've started to realize, you know what, maybe some of my views on how a DAO should be run, at least in the startup phase, isn't so bad after all. And so I've been starting to be a little bit more vocal, especially like in the DAOs that I'm a part of. It's interesting.
When I look at, and I definitely get criticisms from my maximalist friends as well, and frankly, I would self-identify as a Bitcoin maximalist in my own right as well. Maybe not as extreme as some of the others, but I still would fall into that branch. And some of my friends, they criticize me like, oh, City DAO isn't decentralized at all. It's a da-da-da-da. And they have all these descriptions. And you know, the answer that I've come up with for me is that, well, neither was Bitcoin on day one. The infamous cypherpunks were putting together, and this group or the person of Satoshi Nakamoto was building Bitcoin. You know, initially it was built by a small group of people, and that's unarguable. And that's essentially, you could say, a centralized starting point, because everything needs a birthplace. You know, the universe starts at a big bang. There's always a center point for everything that gets created. And I think it's fair to say that Bitcoin is arguably decentralized. I think that no one would disagree with that statement. And that's the intention that it was built with. And it's the end result that it achieved. To me, I think that some DAOs are trying to follow that similar roadmap. And it's still really early days. It's very new. People don't really know yet. And we're working towards what this looks like. Now, with CityDAO specifically, we're in this new phase where, as of a couple days ago, which is as of February 7th, I believe it was, the formal council has been elected inside the CityDAO to represent essentially the voice of the community and take certain actions and have certain responsibilities. On one side, we could say that, well, this is still a centralized process and it's very political. There was a stand-up and people pitch themselves and, you know, there's a voting process, and now there's, you could say, centralized people that are representing the majority. But the other argument is also true, is that initially there was just this small group of, you could say, ideators or founders, if you want to call it that, that was a much smaller group. So right now, the step from a small handful, arguably, you know, two, maybe three people making the decisions, has now expanded to a total council of, I think it was 21 people, if I remember correctly. So the step from three people to 21 is actually a major step in decentralization. And specifically, when the power is leaving the initial ideators and moving to a more community-voted council. And the next steps after that, we still get to decide. And with your background in politics, I'm wondering, would you envision, just in a theoretical basis, would you envision that the CityDAO moves more towards a completely decentralized, autonomous type of a unit? Or would you see it moving a little more in the direction it is right now, in having a little bit of a layer of politics, so to say, in voting and letting certain powers go to certain people? What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Really, my personal opinion right now is there's too much friction in DAOs, like in joining DAOs, in keeping up with what's going on in DAOs. Like there's too much friction.
It's a lot.
We have so many different tools. Twitter seems to really be like layer one of it all, right? Like that seems to be like the onboarder for most DAOs. And then you have Discord is almost like the office, right? And then Discord has like only can go so far. And so then we have all these tack-ons, like we have like Notion and we have all these different protocols that we're using. And it becomes like such a mess to keep up with everything and know what's going on. And so I think until like the technology catches up with where we can actually truly like organize DAOs better And we can actually have like really good protocols in place to actually create this automation that we all talk about. It's going to be really hard to move in that direction. And then again, there's also some thought too to where like, if you study politics, there's a reason why China has passed the United States in terms of some economic factors. It's because they can make decisions on the fly that the United States takes a long time to decide. And so there is sometimes in a life cycle of an entity, there is sometimes a good point where somebody can just make an executive decision and say, okay, we're doing this. There's always going to be some people that would disagree and say, oh, you don't need to do that. But I think there is a situation where there sometimes that is needed. I'm going to point back to Vitalik Buterin and the Ethereum Foundation back when the original DAO hack happened. I mean, they made the executive decision that they were going to fork. And some of the community was not happy about that. And so they, you know, they stayed with Ethereum Classic. And pretty much people thought that Ethereum 2.0 or whatever you want to call it was going to die. And I mean, look, it didn't. So, I mean, if they didn't make that executive decision and we made the community figure it out or whatever, I mean, maybe it would have been too late. Maybe it didn't matter at that point, right? Because maybe like the general feeling about it would have already passed. You know what I mean? So that's just interesting.
It is. And it's not clear what the answers are, because there are really good arguments on both sides of the equation of, you know, obviously that hack back then. Did leadership stepping in undermine the autonomy and the decentralization process? And, you know, arguably, definitely it did. Now, was that for the better or was that for the worse? There's a lot of arguments on both sides. You know, I certainly have some opinions on that. At the end of the day, though, it is what it is. And now, obviously, it's a bit more decentralized than ever. So that's kind of addressed moving forward. And yeah, ultimately, you know, with CityDAO, we don't know. We don't know. And so I wasn't really expecting an answer on that. It's just an interesting subject. And I think most likely I'll be asking a number of people on the Citizen series here that come on the show the similar subject, so we can have that discussion. Because as a whole, of all the citizen holders here in CityDAO, we're all discussing and thinking about this exact same subject. So we'll really see how it unfolds. It's day one with the council, and we're going to be doing a council series as well and having, you know, council members on the show and talking about it. And we're going to learn a lot. If I loop back here for a second to let's get to know you a little bit more. It's my fault for taking us on that little tangent there, because it's really fascinating.
Fine.
It is. If I remember correctly, I think that in your, you could say past life, you were a business broker. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
I told you before in my own past life, I had a brick and mortar sort of, you could say, construction company, built it and sold it through a business broker. So I have a little idea, a little taste of what your world looks like, but maybe you just share with people what your life used to look like. And then we'll move into what you're doing now. And we want to talk about DAO punks. We want to talk about solar punks. We want to talk about the NFT that you made for CityDAO, which is a fantastic 3D piece. And we'll talk a little more about CityDAO. But starting at the origins here, you know, where are you coming from? What's your background? What was life as a business broker like?
I never would have thought that I would have been in sales. And I think anybody that knew me before I got into it would have been like, oh, Paul would never be in sales. But actually, my dad is a corporate accountant. And so like, it was kind of just a natural like spinoff to help clients with selling their business and stuff, because he intimately was already aware of kind of their financials and everything. And so we could help them with that process. And so I just naturally joined the family business, like a lot of people do out of college, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the people. I really enjoy like doing deal flow, and I like negotiating with people, and I like the psychology behind stuff. That was a lot of fun. I worked on a lot of really weird businesses. I mean, really all the way from working on sales of like family-owned like restaurants, construction companies like you, to the really weird stuff like gravestone and funeral home businesses, all the way up to like nude beach resorts. So kind of like a weird spectrum. And what was fun about that is every day was different. So what I really liked about it was I got to get an intimate view of all kinds of different small businesses, which were run by entrepreneurs. And I think when people think of entrepreneur, they think of like this grand illusion of like what it is to be an entrepreneur. But like really in reality, it's they're normal people. And usually they're kind of wacky and crazy people, which is why they chose that route. It's just interesting to kind of see the types of people that are really successful. And you kind of lose those rose-tinted glasses of like what you would think they would be and like what they actually are. And so that was interesting. And then COVID happened, and I had a lot of international clients. Like a lot of my buyers were international clients who were coming over to the United States and they wanted to live here. And so they were like visa motivated buyers. Pretty much once the borders got shut down, I knew right then and there that like, okay, well, there goes all my deals. And so that was fine. I was just pretty much hanging out at home like everybody else. And I had a couple of friends that were like, hey, you should get involved into like crypto and NFTs and stuff. And I remember my first reaction was kind of like, NFTs kind of sound stupid. Like, I'm not really that interested. But I just started doing research and I started to kind of get enthralled into it all. I just started to learn 3D design because I was bored at home like everyone else. And so I was just, you know, on YouTube learning 3D design, and it became like a real passion. It was just fun. It's just fun to create something and then see the computer render it out and just see how like real it looks. It's just amazing. And then especially when you see like how far like graphic effects have come, like literally you can create the 90s Matrix on like a laptop nowadays if you're skilled enough. And like that concept to me is just amazing because, you know, back then they probably spent a ridiculous budget and probably had a huge staff of people to make that. And so that really started to interest me. And that's kind of how I got thrust into crypto.
So you basically taught yourself graphic design and 3D art just on your own initiative. Is that right?
I'm like the type of person where I always have like way too many hobbies going on. In college, I was really big into photography. And so I had like a lot of photography gear and I was just taking pictures and having fun. And then I was big into graphic design as well, just for fun. I'm like one of those people that's like never stop learning type of vibe. And so like I'm always learning something weird and new. And a lot of times I don't really know where it fits in to my life, but like my friends and family are like, oh, okay, whatever. He's just doing what he always does. I like get very obsessive over stuff too. So like, I'm like all in. I mean, I'm like all in. So really like when I look back to all the stuff I've learned over like my whole life, it all kind of comes back to what I'm doing right now. Each piece has a place, which is interesting. That seems to be how life works. I mean, it's kind of magic. So yeah, I wouldn't have called myself an artist before, but now that I look back, I totally can see how like I probably could have called myself an artist because I still was making art. I just didn't consider myself one.
Yeah, you had the foundations of it and you weren't focusing on it full time, just a hobby. And now it's expanded into something a lot more serious. And I'm wondering, you're building NFTs. Are you just building NFTs? Are you building art for fun or for show or for other clients? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so really my North Star in life, and this has kind of been the same with any industry that I've worked in, I only want to work on projects that I have an absolute love for and that I feel has a positive impact on the world. And that could be a lot of different ways, right? Because everyone's definition is different. But I've learned that if you chase money, you don't get money. Like, money comes from people who are building from passion or building from like abundance. And so I stay away from pretty much any project that I'm not interested in like at all. And that's, a lot of people aren't really like that. And some people just don't have the luxury. Like, some people just have to make ends meet. And so if they get an offer to work on something or a job or whatever, it's kind of, sometimes they have to take it, right, in order to survive. But I've pretty much tried to always stay towards my North Star. And so, you know, I've turned down opportunities that I could have potentially made a good amount of money on, but it's just like either A, I didn't believe in the project, or I didn't believe in like the person running the project, or I didn't believe in like the values or whatever. And so nowadays I'm only focused on stuff that has a positive impact. And so CityDAO was one of them. That's why when they approached me, I was like, okay, absolutely. Like, this is perfect.
And that's because you made a pretty cool 3D piece for CityDAO.
Yes. Yeah. The piece was a lot of fun. It went through a lot of different iterations, which I guess we can kind of talk about here.
Some people are listening and some people are watching. So yeah, so you built this 3D piece and it's a one of a kind. It's not for sale. Just for the record, anyone listening to this, we're not selling anything here. There's nothing for sale. There's no auctions. We're just discussing a piece of art. That's all we're doing right now. For those that are watching on YouTube, there's this piece. You can check it on Discord. You can actually, you know what? We'll send a link to the 3D piece here in the show notes to this episode. So just check out the website and there'll be a link so you can have a look at this pretty cool piece. And basically, there's a city floating in space. There's sort of a, in my own words, a Statue of Liberty inspired female person standing or floating above the city. And one side, there's a globe covered in a mesh. In her other hand, I should say, she's holding a crystal. She's got a crown, a bit of a mask on. Yeah, it's just a really cool piece. So check it out. And let's talk a little bit about just some of the detail from an artist's perspective, why you did certain things and why you maybe didn't do certain other things. I think a good context framer here going into this subject is the concept that you mentioned to me a while ago about a solar punk. And maybe tell me, what is a solar punk? Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, I'd want to back up just a little bit real quick and just say, so basically we founded a project called DAO Punks, and we basically released 1,111 NFTs into the ecosystem. And each one is a one of one, basically a visualization of how I perceive the archetypes of a DAO, of the people who work in DAOs. Our end mission was to basically take a portion of the funds from the mint and allocate it to Bankless DAO, because this is a project that was born out of Bankless DAO. And so we want to support all the great people that are working over at Bankless DAO, which Bankless DAO is lifting up the ecosystem in their own ways. But then we also wanted to take another portion of the mint and we wanted to basically turn DAO punks into a DAO. And again, we kind of talked about in the earlier phase of this episode, like the definition of a DAO kind of changes between who you're talking to. We wanted to form a DAO with the main mission of providing grants to people that are working in the Web3 space. Primarily, where what we want to be doing is we really want to be providing grants to people who want to work full-time for DAOs and they're working in the corporate world right now, but they just need something to push them over the edge to say, okay, I can dive into the Web3 space and I have a little bit of a cushion. And so really our main goal is to be a grants-giving DAO and to support the whole DAO ecosystem. So that could even mean like funding grants to somebody who goes and ends up working for CityDAO full-time or like MakerDAO or CultDAO, whatever. There's tons of different DAOs out there that we would be happily funding some Web3 people. So we're really close to giving out our first grant here. So if anybody's interested in this initiative or potentially they want to be a grantee, then just definitely come and check us out. And I'm sure there's going to be some like links to our socials and stuff so you can check us out. But we want to give money away. We need to find people who need the money. So definitely keep us in mind for that.
Yeah, well, we'll put some links to the show notes in the episode for sure. Yeah.
Now that you have like a little bit of backstory. So once we launched that project, we had a bunch of DAOs that really saw like the value that we were going to provide the ecosystem. And they were super interested in talking with DAO punks and forming a relationship. And really where I think that like this relationship could go is if we can really turn DAO punks into what we believe it could be, I think DAO punks would be a great landing point for people that want to make that jump from Web 2 to Web 3, basically, in terms of like working full time. Some of the early DAOs that we create relationships with, they could get a great benefit from picking out new workers and new citizens and stuff like that from our little community that ends up forming. And so CityDAO approached us and they really loved the initiative. They loved the Web3 grants and everything like that. CityDAO basically wanted to send a social signal that they supported the mission as well. They wanted to help fund our treasury. And so really they were asking like, you know, how can we help fund the DAO Punks treasury to give more grants and lift up the ecosystem? What can we do? And so really we didn't know what that looked like yet because CityDAO approached us like, I want to say like 2 weeks after our mint. And so kind of everything was really hectic. And I was like, look, I don't really know what this is going to look like or like what a partnership could look like. But we basically pitched them and said, look, how about we create a one-of-one art piece that basically envisions what your DAO is visually in exchange for some artwork. You can basically fund our treasury and we'll give more grants. I want to focus on that for 1 second. Like that is such an interesting business model. Basically, we're trading art for money that we're going to use for grants, which is then going to get pumped back into the DAO ecosystem. Like it's such an interesting thing. The normal meat space world doesn't work like that, right? Usually you're not trading like artwork for like grant money and stuff like that. Like usually there's some other stuff that's involved. So I thought that was super interesting. But basically CityDAO was all on board. We talked with like the core team over at CityDAO. So it was like Lions and a couple others over there, which were awesome, like B-Pete's and stuff like that, which by the way, B-Pete's is a DAO punk. B-Pete's is the man. B-Pete's is big over in CityDAO, I believe. It was actually B-Pete's original idea to do the grants. So I got to just say thank you, B-Pete's, for that. You are the man. So CityDAO, we were talking with CityDAO and we're like, okay, well, you know, what should we do? Like, what do you guys think? And we had like a brainstorming session and basically the core team kind of said, look, you have like full creative control. We want to see what you guys do. Initially, like all of the original DAO punks, they're kind of like themed towards the streetwear theme. It's kind of a fun vibe. I kind of believe that the DAO ecosystem, when I envision it, is that relaxed kind of vibe. And so that's what we went for. But when I started doing research in CityDAO, I really didn't think that that vibe kind of translated. I thought there was something a little bit more special here. And so originally we had talked with CityDAO about doing like a static piece, like a piece that didn't move, right? Like a typical image. And if you know anything about making 3D, making a static image is a hell of a lot easier than making an animation with music and sound. And so originally we were just working on a static piece and I was putting together a bunch of different variations, which is kind of basically the punk you see in the very middle. That was like the very first kind of iteration of what we were doing. Like I was telling you guys earlier, I only like to work on stuff that I'm absolutely in love with and that I feel is doing some change in the world. And so I felt like when I was making this static piece that it wasn't doing CityDAO justice because there's so much going on at CityDAO and CityDAO has so much potential. And it's just like a static image to me wasn't going to do it. I kind of changed the entire scope of the project midway through. And I said, hey, everybody, instead of a static image, we're going to do an animation. And I'm going to need some more time from you guys. They were absolutely fine with that. They're like, all right, cool, let's do it. And so I didn't tell them at all like what I was doing. I didn't tell them about any of the styling or anything. I basically just said, you know, just trust me and Sinjin and we're going to do it. Which by the way, I want to make that known. So The Dao Punks was founded by me and Sinjin. All the artwork was done by me and Sinjin. Sinjin was awesome. He was supposed to be here today, but he's actually getting ready to go to East Denver, so he couldn't make it. Sinjin also helps me with the artwork on this piece. And so I just wanted to break down the backstory, and now we can talk about the actual details of it. So I thought the context was important.
Yeah, for sure. It's cool to me that, you know, the concept of a DAO being community and everyone working together towards something, it goes farther than that. If we take a step back, there's so much interconnection between DAO to DAO. It's not just the community members within a DAO supporting and working on a project. It's community members from different DAOs working and supporting different DAOs as well. It really is a network, a matrix, you could say. And the deeper I go into the space, the more real that becomes for me. So yeah, no, it's great framing, and we love having you a part of here and being connected and supporting good causes in the community as well. That's great. Yeah. And yeah,
you do see the same names over and over. Like, I want to make that known to people, like the true DAO punks. And that's like what I call the true DAO believers. Like, they're DAO punks to me. The true DAO punks, you see these people in every DAO. I've joined other DAOs recently where it's like, oh, I see a bunch of like my DAO punk friends who I'm in other DAOs with. And it doesn't feel any different. Like, oh, just because we're in this Discord over here talking, you know, it's like, you know, this person very well because you're with them in another DAO, or, you know, or you're within in like two or three other DAOs with them. It's very interconnected. And these relationships really go a long way. Like, you might have a really great relationship with somebody that you met in City DAO, which you might be able to leverage off of in another DAO. It's really interesting. I love that dynamic of it. And that's just the power of kind of Web3 and just the internet in general, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So this piece is pretty intricate, and there's kind of a lot going on. And I think some of it is kind of hidden, and it's meant to be hidden. I guess artwork is the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so sometimes some artists will explain kind of everything in a piece, and sometimes they won't. I kind of like giving backstory of stuff. I think it makes it more fun. And so I'll give my perception of how me and Sinjin created it. But obviously people, they can kind of look at it any way they want, really, and kind of infer different things. But basically, if I pause it right here, so if we look at the main kind of punk, so we kind of started the conversation with Lions. And one of the big debates at the very beginning was, what gender do we make this punk? And obviously that's a big thing. And I think we've been seeing it more and more lately, especially on Twitter. And I wanted to be sensitive to that stuff. And so really, I kind of started from the framing of like, okay, what do I believe the gender of a City DAO like mascot should be? I guess you really don't have to name a gender. But what I kind of thought was, personally, I kind of thought that City DAO kind of gives off like Mother Nature type vibes, because City DAO is kind of rooted in one of the big things that City DAO did was buy that plot of land. And that plot of land was like very natural. And I think it's a conservation land, right? And so, you know, it's very natural. There's a lot of like natural rock formations on it and stuff like that. And so instantly, like, that just gave me Mother Nature vibes, which goes really well into the solar punk vibes. And so really, we started with that base there. So really, I wanted the punk to have more of like a female motherly type vibe, but also not be so female that you could identify it as a female, right? I guess the gender could be whatever you want. But really, the vibe I'm going for is more of that Mother Nature type of vibe. And so we started with that base there. And then really, once you have that base, you can kind of build off that vibe outwards, right? And so really, we then started with that. The Mother Nature vibe kind of led us into the solar punk. And so the solar punk is really interesting, because I don't think a lot of people have heard about solar punk, but everybody's heard of cyberpunk, because cyberpunk has become so mainstream, especially with like the gaming and the entertainment industry. What's interesting about cyberpunk is that we all seem to really love cyberpunk. We all love to consume cyberpunk artwork and entertainment and stuff like that. But the problem is like, do any of us actually want to live in a cyberpunk world one day? Cyberpunk worlds look terrible. It looks like the earth is dying. It looks like society is like almost in ruins and shambles, filled with outlaws, and there's oppression and stuff like that. It's usually like dark and dirty, and there's trash everywhere. And it just doesn't look like a world that I would actually want to live in. And so really, you know, Sinjin and I, we really started to sit down when we were making DAO punks and all the artwork that we're creating from now on. We're really coming from a mindset of like, okay, what world do we actually want to live in? And like, what do we want that world to look like? And if we basically start from there, we're basically going to try to like almost imagine it into existence. And so that's really where we started. Like, I have fun with the cyberpunk vibes, and I've made cyberpunk art before. I think we need to be more conscious about what kind of future are we actually trying to visualize here. because if we're not careful, like we might actually visualize ourselves into an actual cyberpunk future. And I don't think everybody would be happy with that. That's with this piece. We easily could have gone the cyberpunk city DAO vibe, and that probably would have been really cool. It probably like would have looked cool, but I don't think it would have like really done CityDAO justice, because as far as I've seen in CityDAO, like CityDAO is more, I think, conscious about the earth and the environment and all the other things that cyberpunk future doesn't really embody. So we started with the solarpunk vibe, and the solarpunk movement is really built around like, what kind of world would you actually want to live in? And so if you think about the obvious, we're humans, we need oxygen, which means we need plants and we need foliage and we need a sustainable earth. And so really like the think of like a futuristic city filled with foliage and greenery and plants and trees. A future city doesn't need to be just like metal and concrete and stuff like that. Like we still need plants and we still need a way to like breathe oxygen and stuff. And so realistically, like the city would still be filled with beautiful greenery and stuff like that. A solarpunk future also would be like a bright future, right? Like instead of looking at a dark alleyway with like neon signs and trash on the ground, solarpunk would be bright and sunny and green and fresh, floral, clean, sustainable, stuff like that. It's really, again, like a future that we would want to live in. That also helped us with a lot of the decisions on this piece. And so really, it started even with like just the clothing itself. So if you look at the clothing, it's very light skin tone of the punk itself, or I guess if you want, it doesn't even have to be skin, it could be metal. I don't really know. It's up for debate, but it's all very light and airy. It's still futuristic. It's still got a futuristic vibe. It's not like dark and dreary, right? And so that's another thing that we kind of leaned in as well. Like me and Sinjin have been having a lot of talks about what is style in the metaverse. Sinjin comes from a fashion background. He works for some of the bigger fashion houses in the world. When you look at fashion in the real world, you have certain constraints around that. Like you have physics, right? You have gravity. You have constraints that you have to work within. When you're in the metaverse, there really are very limited constraints. You know, gravity doesn't apply anymore. Weird elements don't apply anymore. If you want to make a garment glow yellow, you can make it glow yellow. Like it's not impossible. Even to the degree of like, if you, and this is, we talked with Bobby Hundreds one time over at DAOpunks. He brought up this example. He's like, if you want to be a dinosaur wearing a hoodie, then you can be a dinosaur wearing a hoodie. Like that's fashion at that point, right? That's metaverse fashion. And so once you start to really think about that, it changes your perception on how you think of things moving forward. And so we, again, kind of had that mentality this whole time as well when we were doing this piece. Like not everything has to make sense physically, because again, we aren't bound by physical constraints anymore. We aren't bound by like physics at all. So really like whatever we want to make, that's completely possible in this world that we're living in now. And so that was a really cool concept as well. So basically that kind of leads me into like why the garment is glowing. The garment's glowing because we chose to make it glowing. It doesn't have to be a realistic thing anymore. You brought up the vibe of the Statue of Liberty. To be honest, I wasn't really thinking about Statue of Liberty. I can totally see the correlation there. I actually have made a piece in the past, which was very Statue of Liberty. And this one actually looks a lot like that. So I can totally see that. This does kind of have some tie-ins, I guess, with that. I'd say it more, in my opinion, has more ties in with like Lady Justice. And really, I guess we'll start from the top bottom. So this mask that you see here, some people kind of think it's like an alien mask or something like that. If you zoom in on the piece, it's actually like a floral mask. It's kind of paying homage back to that like solar punk vibe. So like if you zoom in, it's like a bunch of flowers and like greenery and stuff engraved on it. And it's basically a mask over the punk's face. And the mask is covering her eyes. Really, I like to cover the eyes on a lot of my pieces. And people ask me all the time, like, why are they blindfolded or why are you covering the eyes? And really, I'm doing that because it's funny, because it's very Web3. Web3, we all kind of have blinders on our eyes. We don't know what race any of each other are. We don't know what gender we are without us telling people. Like literally, you're basically being impartial. The covering of the eyes is symbolizing like impartiality. Basically, like you can be anybody from anywhere. You're basically accepted here. And so that was like a big thing for me with the City DAO, because that's how a lot of DAOs operate, right? Like we really don't care who you are, where you're from, as long as you're a good actor and you want to contribute to the project, well, you're welcome aboard basically. And so that's why I really like the impartiality symbology there. If we move over to her left hand, we've got these crystals right here. And the crystals were actually Sinjin's idea, which I thought was an awesome idea. Sinjin was basically like, well, you know, what if we put some like natural elements in there? So like we're almost paying homage back to that realistic meat space that we were just talking about that we didn't really have to abide by. But I still think it was a good idea. And so really, Sinjin was telling me, he's like, hey, you know, there's like all these natural like crystal formations that exist out in the wild, that the way they grow and they actually look like cities. It's really actually an interesting symbology back to City Dao, because it kind of symbolizes two different things to me. Like A, City Dao's first Genesis land purchase was this very like geographic, or it's like this it's very rocky, like almost natural formation of land. But also like these crystals, they grow naturally like into a city and they continue to expand and grow bigger. And so that kind of is like City Dao itself as it's progressing through time. City Dao is basically like this internet city, this Web3 metaverse city, the connected city, whatever you want to call it, that's growing over time, kind of like this natural crystal formation. And so that's where the crystal came from, which I thought was really cool. And it played in really nicely and with the just aesthetics of everything as well. On the right hand, we basically have this iteration of the globe of Earth sitting in between this glowing orb. And the glowing orb really goes back to this concept of network city. So when we were talking with Lyons about brainstorming like design ideas and stuff like that, he kept bringing me back to this concept of network city. And so again, like I think people need to stop thinking so literal when we're working in the Web3 space and in the metaverse. I think a lot of people probably initially when they hear about CityDAO, they probably think that CityDAO is actually like trying to build like a physical city somewhere. And I've actually seen like some conversations about building structures and stuff on that conservation land. And I don't think that was the initial intention by CityDAO. I mean, so I think people are thinking too literal. Like you guys got to lose this literal thinking. Like what is a city of the future? Are cities and sovereign states and sovereign nations, do they really need physical land anymore? Like we're all connected. And so you can basically have these network cities. And so I did some research into the network city. And this is basically my iteration of what a network city would be. And so it's basically almost like if you think about like these hidden radio waves like flying through the air that like we can't see, right? But they all exist because that's all like that's how we communicate, right? That's kind of like a visualization of that. So it's basically like it's symbolizing the connectedness of CityDAO from people all around the world, even though they're not geographically connected. And maybe you guys can't go and like touch and feel each other, but you can still communicate with each other online. And so that's basically like my iteration of that. I think that's it for the punk itself. I guess, do you have any questions about that before I roll into like the other part of the animation?
It's interesting because some of the stuff I wanted to ask you was about what do you envision for CityDAO and what does it look like in your ideal future and what directions would you like it to go? And it's interesting that you're essentially answering all the questions I would have asked simply through the representation of your art piece here. So no, have at it, man. Keep going.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I think like if you're going to make something for like an organization or a community or a group of people, like you really have to like dive in and like try to understand like what they're all about before you do it. Because if not, you're just doing a disservice, right? And again, like it goes back to what I said earlier. I don't want to create just for the sake of creating. I definitely could have done like other stuff that maybe would have been easier and simpler, but like that would just not be like magical to me. I always want to look back at something and really the way that I create stuff is I want to create stuff with the thought that maybe this is going to be hanging in a museum one day, right? Like maybe CityDAO gets so big and so popular, which by the way, I saw Vitalik Buterin talking about CityDAO, that maybe my artwork will be like a great representation of this wonderful, successful organization one day. And I want to be proud about what the artwork is. I don't want it to like miss the mark, right? And so I did my best to try to like connect everything. But let's see, if we roll out. So basically it starts like right on the punk and you can see that like the earth is moving and animated and so is the crystal. And then it starts to pan out. And so what I like about the pan out is kind of like, okay, so it starts with the punk. And the punk again is kind of a representation to me of like CityDAO. And then it starts to pan outwards and as you can see, like the city starts to get bigger and you start to see this like kind of sprawling like metropolis underneath the punk and the punk is kind of hovering above it. The vibe that I don't want to put off here is I don't want to put off that the punk is like supreme leader or anything like that of the city because it's not. I think the punk, in my opinion, is a representation of all the citizens. And then the underlying layer of everything, which is the actual organization and everything else, that it would be my representation of this city. And so what I really liked about this specific city that I have here is that if you notice, the city goes off into tangents. There's kind of like districts here, right? So you have like this big city center, which would again, like basically represent CityDAO as a whole. But then you have all these like tangent districts that kind of roll off it. Like you see these little columns that come out here. And what I like about that is that to me really symbolizes this whole network city vibe. Because it starts with kind of this like this center, like this organizational center, and then it fractures off into like other districts or potentially other DAOs or other initiatives throughout the world. And so it's kind of like my symbology that CityDAO is going to grow into something and already has grown to something much larger and have influence over other stuff, which is interesting. I guess it's interesting to note, again, like don't think so literal. I'm going to keep saying that because I think that that's really important in this space. Right now, it is flying through space. It is a city flying through space. I don't think CityDAO is going to build a space station that people are going to actually live on one day. It'd be pretty cool if they did. I mean, I won't rule that out, but like that wasn't a literal representation. It's kind of like my version of a city or a DAO or an organization, like kind of like flying through the metaverse. And so what I liked about using the stars is these stars, this is an actual picture of the universe. What's cool is on NASA's website, you can actually download a star map and it's like, it's massive. Like you can download like an 8K version of the star map. So 3D artists will use that real star map in their pieces. And so this is an actual star map taken by NASA. And so these are actual real stars, which I thought was cool. And that ties back again, in my opinion, to CityDAO because it's very organic and real, right? And CityDAO is this representation of the Web3 worlds, you know, merged in with the physical meat space world, right? Like you guys are bringing real estate on chain, like real property on chain. And so there is this like level of like organicness to it. And so in my opinion, like it was really important for me to try to bring some real organic stuff into this piece. And so really the stars, that's a real picture of stars. That's some organic pieces right there. And then it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, to the Big Bang. Like this is all the aftermath of the Big Bang, right? I mean, all this organic matter came out of that, which is really cool. And then also back to that too, like the organic, you can see there's a bunch of like trees and stuff and like vines hanging off the actual like structure itself. Again, that leads back to the whole like solar punk vibe. Obviously the city looks very like modern and futuristic and there is a lot of metal and stuff, but I wanted to also put like greenery and trees and stuff like that, because obviously like that's the future that we want to live in. As it scrolls out more, you see eventually like the sun kind of comes into play and it like casts like this kind of beautiful, like warm color on the punk in the city. That's again, like a homage back to the whole solar punk vibe, like warm colors, a bright future, stuff like that. Like that was really important to me. And it's, again, it's organic. Like I really like the tie back to the organic, like real world as well. It basically pans out and then it pans back in. If you listen to it, it is an animated piece with music. And so Sinjin actually did a special score for this piece. One of his friends did some singing on it for us for some like ambient noises in the back. And it really is just beautiful. It turned out perfectly. And so really, like to me, the music is, it's like almost like a futuristic vibe, solar punk, but it also has like some organic feel to it as well. I thought the music really fit perfectly. Like I gave Sinjin this piece without any audio. And I basically said, here, like make something really cool for it. And he came back a couple days later with the finished audio. And I remember it just like gave me goosebumps because it was just so cool. Like I just love the vibe of it. Again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like I would love if one day like this piece was hanging in a museum one day to represent CityDAO's success. I would think like you could come up and walk up to this piece and stand there and really look at the piece, rotate through animation a couple times because you might notice something different each time. But also you could be like experiencing it through audio, and the audio would be something that you could kind of sit and listen to and experience differently each time as well. It's kind of like one of those audio tracks that it doesn't do justice to hear it one time. Like there's kind of a lot of different things going on, which is really cool. And so that's really where we wanted to go with it. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it pushed me artistically as well. Like I had to learn a couple new things in order to make this. In total, to make a piece like this, or at least my workflow, this piece took about 8 different computer programs to make. It's a heavy lift to make something like this. And it takes a lot of different things. Like, you know, you use one program to make the clothing, one program to make like the lighting and stuff like that, one program to do the after stuff. It's just crazy how many pieces of the puzzle like you need to put into it. So it was a lot of fun making it. We ended up presenting it to the core team who we originally like engaged to do this project with. And I don't think that they were expecting this. Like, I really don't. I think they were originally expecting that we were going to do something in the original style of our first like NFT drop. And I think they were blown away. So it was really a lot of fun.
It's a fascinating piece. And, you know, sometimes people think about art as just a picture on the wall, or in the performing arts, just a dance. I'm a competitive dancer, or at least I was for several years. And it's so much more than that. Art influences society. It can change opinions. It talks about values. It translates experience, thoughts, visions across space and time. We're still touched by some of the ancient Greek work today. Art, in a sense, is communication. It's a form of communication. It's a form of expression. And it allows people from all across the globe, backgrounds, languages, races, cultures, time spans as well, to communicate with each other through image, through sound, through stories. And art is often a vehicle for social change, and also it's a representation of a civilized world. And we can trace that all the way back to our ancient ancestors 50,000 years ago drawing on a wall. And what was different about them being able to draw cave art on a wall versus our earlier ancestors from 100,000, 200,000 years ago who couldn't? Any other animal today in society that can't really draw or do their own form of arts? And some animals obviously can in different ways. But the point is, we can see the advances of civilization in the art form that those civilizations created. Again, going back to ancient Greeks, the Romans, architecture from the Renaissance era, poems, poetry, dance as well, the evolution of dance and other forms of art. It's really cool to see that city Dao, as a connection by default of its name to civilization, to structure, to groups of people getting together, starting to have its own expression and form of art. One of the purposes of the Citizens series here of this podcast is to explore how different people are contributing, how people are envisioning the project and the initiative. And art is obviously a fantastic way to do that. And that's what we have covered here and are covering in this show. Anyone else who's doing some art in the City DAO community, let's hear it. Let's see it. Share it. Put it in the Discord. Let's talk about it. Anyone else who's contributing in the Discord or in the community in different ways, let's hear it. Let's share it. Let's talk about it. Put it out there. Anyone who's not really sure how to contribute or maybe is a little bit intimidated or scared to contribute, just do it. You know, this whole podcast is an example of a initiative just coming forward and doing it. And this art piece that Paul's put together is an example of people just coming forward and doing it. And other people in the Citizens series here are contributing in different ways. So if you're listening, I would encourage you to jump in, make your voice heard, just throw it out there. Be anonymous if that makes you feel more comfortable, whatever you want to do, and get more involved. Paul, is there anything else that you're maybe contributing to the community right now or anything that you would want to suggest or share with other people listening?
I would say really the one way that I can contribute the most is, again, going back to the DAO Punks. So the DAO Punks, again, is a grant-giving DAO. We want to give grants to people that want to work full-time in Web3. That can kind of mean different things for different people. And so we're really open to seeing who comes out of the fray. If you at all want to work full-time for Web3, if you want to work full-time for CityDAO, or you want to work full-time for a number of other DAOs at the same time, then we want to give money away. We have a treasury right now. We have like $100,000 worth of ETH that we are just kind of sitting on right now, waiting to give away to our first round of Cohort Zero. If you're at all interested in getting a grant, then definitely come and check out DAO Punks, jump in our Discord and start asking questions. We have a bunch of people from CityDAO over there right now. We're really just trying to lift up the ecosystem and help people. And then my last thing, again, I'm going to go back to, don't think so literal. Like, we are in a new space here. There's a lot of innovation happening. Start to think less literal and start to be a little bit more creative with how you perceive things in the metaverse, because that's where the real magic is. Like, we're not restricted anymore by certain things that the meat space restricts us to. And so let's just always remember that, because that's important.
Thanks, Paul, for your time and for your work, for your effort, for your creative genius on the project. I appreciate everything you've done and everything you're going to continue doing. Thanks for coming on the show. That's it, folks. For me, Eric Gilbert Williams, and today's guest from the Citizen Series, Paul. Until next time, we will see you on Discord.